Upheaval, Reckoning, Chapter 34, The Last Blade.
For the very long second it took Sablesteel to descend on her, Pinky's mind raced through an explosion of panicked thoughts.
Oh no, oh no, this is bad. She's starting that swooping thing. What do I do? What do I do?
At the tail end of that second, Pinky jumped to one side. Sablesteel's blade-tipped hoof whistled an inch from her ear as she slammed against a wall. Several small things landed a few feet away with loud metallic pings. She had more pressing concerns, however. Her tablet had slipped from her forelegs and skittered away. What was the plan again? She had been so sure when she was running towards the alley. The plan should be simple. Find Sablesteel, get Sablesteel to stop trying to hurt any pony, tell every pony that it was safe to return to their normal lives again, then finish with a celebratory song, preferably with Sablesteel. Step one proved surprisingly easy. Despite all his oddities, Coppermane did show her how to work the channeling slab. She was able to see ley energy whenever she wanted to now. After that, it was simply a matter of looking for disturbances throughout the lines, just as she had done back in that really scary and dark place under Everfree Castle. She had taken a huge gamble in running after this particular disturbance, but had paid off. Step two was proving to be a rather huge snarl in her plan. Sablesteel was more monstrous than she remembered. Even though she knew there was a pony under the mask, she still couldn't stop trembling. The first swing from those blades also made it clear that this problem wasn't going to be solved by talking.
Hold still.
Sablesteel's growl was hollow and metallic. She made a swift turn after her first swoop and positioned herself for another.
Why do you have to do this? Pinky asked.
She zigzagged through the alley, trying to get to her channeling slab and make herself a difficult target at the same time. Sablesteel answered by landing on the slab just as Pinky was about to grab it. Pinky yelped and jumped back at the last moment. She eyed Sablesteel warily and began to circle around.
What's the matter, Pinkie Pie? Sablesteel asked. Did all your bravado come from this chunk of shale?
Pinky's eyes narrowed. No, that wasn't true. She had always had her pinky sense. The channeling slab just sort of let her see how it worked. She lowered her stance, then charged. Her sudden move startled Sablesteel for a second, giving her enough time to snatch the slab. That moment quickly passed. A sharp sensation in her mind made her move her head to the right. Another bladed strike whistled close to her face. With another yelp, she made a run for it to recollect herself. Something hard slashed through the hair of her tail, sending strands flying. Pinky didn't look back until she felt that she was far enough. When she did, Sablesteel had not moved from the spot.
"We don't have to fight!" Pinky cried out. "Just promise to leave my friends and family alone!"
"I won't," Sablesteel replied.
"Why not? What did they ever do to you?"
Sablesteel swooped again, sending Pinky scurrying for some sort of cover.
"Is that all you came here to do, Pinkie Pie?" she asked.
She whirled in midair, cutting at Pinky like a bladed corkscrew. Pinky flattened herself against the ground. This time, the very tip of Sablesteel's blades lightly grazed her back. It was difficult to tell if she had been actually cut, or if the blades had merely parted her fur. The stinging sensation that followed confirmed her fears. She held the channeling slab tightly and scrambled to her hooves.
"Oh, ow, 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 ow!"
Tears welled up in Pinky's eyes. Sablesteel hovered just a few feet away, hoof blades extended and the stinger around her tail waving lazily. Step two seemed all but impossible. She was panting, sweating, and trembling. Her back felt as if a swarm of angry bees was stinging her. This was looking more and more like a bad idea with each passing second. She had to try something.
"Does it sting, Pinky?" Sablesteel asked. "That's just a scratch. I'm not stopping at scratches, and I'm not stopping at you. Unless..."
Pinky's eyes widened.
"Unless what? What do you want? Tell me."
"Quit being an element of harmony."
"What?"
Pinky stared at Sablesteel. Seconds passed before she could make sense of the sentence.
Quit being an element of harmony? How is that? Why would you..."
Pinky wrestled with the idea. She didn't know if she should be angry that some pony suggested that to her, or be curious if such a thing was even possible. How would a pony quit being an element of harmony? Did she have to talk to some pony? Princess Celestia, maybe? But her necklace had already shattered anyway. Wasn't that some kind of quitting? Maybe her element had quit on her. Sablesteel waved a hoof irritably.
Put the hows and whys away for now. Give me a yes or no.
Pinky opened her mouth, only to realize that she had no idea what to say. After a few more moments of struggling, she found some words.
Wait, if I say yes, will you leave my friends and family alone?
I will, Sablesteel replied. I swear that neither I nor any of my fellow thorns will harm them.
Pinky stared long and hard at Sablesteel. The insect-like mask hid her face and distorted her voice, making it impossible to tell if she was lying or not.
But my friends need me to be part of the elements.
The element of joy will pick some pony else, Sablesteel replied. They'll still be your friends.
Why do you want me to do that?
Yes or no?
Pinky clamped down on her tongue, fearing that she might say yes without thinking. Horrifying as the thought was, Sablesteel's offer sounded tempting. Every pony expected so much from the elements of harmony, the royal siblings, the legion, even their enemies. It was all so heavy. If some pony could do better, why shouldn't they? But...
Well? Sablesteel asked.
No,
Pinky said. She nearly clapped her hooves over her mouth.
My friends need me. I can't just quit.
Need you for what? Sablesteel asked. For balloons. Isn't that your purpose in life? That's what's written on your flank.
She dove after Pinky. Again, any thought of fighting back flew out of Pinky's mind when she was faced with those poison blades. The burning sting on her back remained a dire warning of what would happen if she let herself get cut any deeper. She hopped backwards and skipped to her sides, barely staying a step away from another poisoned wound.
Don't you see how out of your element you are? Sablesteel asked. You're worse than a fish out of water. At least the fish just flops and dies. You will drag others into your fall, Pinky.
I just wanted to help,
Pinky wailed. She ducked one swing and, unable to contain her frustration, lunged. Her head slammed into Sablesteel's midriff. Sablesteel broke off and hovered above her. Pinky wasn't sure if she had actually hurt Sablesteel, or it was merely the surprise of the moment. She rubbed her head to help with the pain of impact, only to notice that it wasn't just hurting because of her attack.
Then help, Sablesteel said. Let some pony else bear the element of joy.
Why are you so insistent? What do you get out of it?
I get to not have to kill you.
Like a thick, damp blanket, silence settled on them. All Pinky could hear was her harsh breathing and the gentle flapping of Sablesteel's wings.
Why?
She asked. When she decided to speak, she found her voice far too loud. Sablesteel's stinger clinked with the twitch of her tail. Pinky swallowed when a single drop of something fell from the pointed tip to the ground.
Because, Pinkie Pie, I don't want to deal with you. You're an itch, a minor bother that does more harm if you actually scratch it. Hurting the element of joy is a necessity, but hurting you stains me. Go away on your own. Stand at the sidelines, cheer for your friends, make them cakes and throw them parties. Leave the important work to some pony else.
The last sentence struck Pinky, leaving her unable to recall what Sablesteel had said earlier. She had heard this somewhere before.
What's your passion, Pinky? Birthday cakes? Party hats?
Balloons, birthday cakes, and party hats. Was that it? Was New Fluttershy and Sablesteel right? Was that all her cutie mark meant? Wasn't that good enough to be the element of joy?
No,
she said, her voice trembling. Sablesteel didn't respond, probably because she didn't hear her.
No,
Pinky said louder. Now that she was holding the shale tablet, she saw all the ley energy around them. There was a strange rippling around those weird metal things Sablesteel had thrown earlier, but she couldn't tell what was happening with them. Nor did she really care.
No,
she shouted. She planted her hooves on the ground and let the colors meld into her body. When Pinky shouted at her, Sable already knew that she had triggered something. When Pinky disappeared, she realized that something might be a threat. She turned instinctively with a hoof raised when she felt a draft to her right. Pinkie Pie had somehow materialized by her side. Pinkie was screaming at the top of her lungs by the time she reappeared in Sable's sights. Her right foreleg ground against Sable's, barely slipping past the block, then smashing a hoof against one side of her breather mask. Pinkie's eyes lit up, surprised that her attack actually managed to hit. Furious, Sable answered by knocking Pinkie to the ground with a hoof to the face. She barely managed to twist the blow at the last moment to avoid stabbing Pinkie's eye out. She shook her head. She had to recover before those insane abilities triggered again. Her mask had absorbed most of the blow, but the clear covering on the left eye had cracked on impact.
"This is not what I'm looking for," she thought.
A bearer of the elements of harmony becoming a stronger fighter was a mere secondary objective to Black Rose. This was also not completely new. She had seen Frenzy Heart move in such a manner before. Sable pulled a few more canisters from her harness and scattered them across the alley. Fortunately, the small cracks had not affected her breather mask's functions. Otherwise, she would have had to pull back or risk flying into the city. She landed several feet away from Pinkie, who was still recovering from her blow.
"That's not where my cutie mark ends!"
Pinkie shouted. Her tablet glowed brightly.
"I've got more than birthday cakes and party hats! That's not at all what my cutie mark means!"
She disappeared from sight again. No flash of magic as there would have been with a unicorn spell. 1 second she was there, then she was gone. Sable was ready this time. She had fought teleporting unicorns before. The air to her right shifted. As she had thought, Pinkie avoided appearing directly behind her, where her bladed back hooves and her stinger could attack. Pinkie would appear to her sides, close to her hind legs, but out of their way. Sable still had weapons there. She extended her wings. Up in the air, her sides were vulnerable because she had to use her wings for flying. Not so on the ground. Pinkie did appear from the right, both front hoofs ready for a strike. Sable swiped at her with a bladed wing, but she noticed it and stepped back at the last moment. The wing blade barely touched the tip of her nose. Sable began to turn on the spot, stabbing at Pinkie with the stinger, then attacking with the left wing blade. Upon facing Pinkie, Sable hovered a foot off the ground and lashed out with all four legs. Faced with a steadily advancing wall of envenomed blades, Pinkie yelped and ran back.
"No fair!" she cried out. "You've got too many weapons!"
"And you've got too few," Sable retorted. "That's the problem, isn't it? You've got nothing to put on the table besides gags and giggles."
She flew up and swooped. Again, Pinkie weaved through her blades, always dodging by a hair's width.
Discipline, she thought.
Frustration hung around the edges of her thoughts. This barely trained earth pony slipped through a barrage of attacks that should have been enough to cut down several Ursans. A lesser soldier would be grinding her teeth away in a rage by now. Sable concentrated on conserving her energy instead, relying on a more reliable, albeit slower, method of taking out Pinkie.
"I've got more!"
Pinkie shouted back. Her voice dropped and she looked down. Sable saw an opportunity to lunge and cut her, but decided to stay put.
"I can do more! I can be the element of joy!"
"You keep telling yourself that," Sable said. "Let's see how much of a comfort it is when the ponies around you start to suffer."
"Leave them alone!"
A hoof struck Sable's side before the last word even finished. She winced. The blows were getting stronger. She slashed with her wings again, but Pinkie was no longer there. Unfazed, she struck out with her other wing without looking. This one cut something, the mild resistance echoed by a pained cry. When they broke off, Pinkie was bleeding from a shallow cut to the shoulder.
"Your fault, fool," Sable thought. "I'm giving you a way out, but you won't take it."
Tears streamed from Pinkie's eyes. She pressed a hoof against the cut and started blowing on it. Sable wasn't too worried. Her wing blades weren't poisoned this time. From the bleeding, she doubted that she cut anything too important. The reaction was all the more telling of why she didn't want to deal with Pinkie. Impressive as her channeling was, Pinkie acted like a filly with a scraped knee.
"Understand now?" she asked. "Take my offer."
Pinkie tried to say something, but she wobbled slightly and squinted, wincing at what undoubtedly was a severe headache. The poison gas was doing its work. That should stop any of her channeling now. If there was anything else she could use, it should be the element of joy. If she couldn't, Sable looked to her foreleg devices. Her blades were coated with a very minor toxin, less potent than bee venom. Her needles carried a lethal mix.
Stop right there, Sable Steel.
Sable glanced towards the end of the alley. As Pinky had said, a group of Legionnaires had been following her. A four-pony special operations squad, some reinforcing Legionnaires, and a few members of the Royal Guard. Leading them was a unicorn mare whose purple mane came down in ringlets. Sable spoke to her communicating device.
Octavia, you're on. Will Warsinger's harmonics to torment. I'm not in the mood for wiping brains off my gear.
All right,
Octavia replied. Even through the communicating device, Sable noticed the relief in her voice. Warsinger had not yet influenced her enough for its deadliest harmonics. Another second passed before the music started. For a fleeting second, Sable expected Rhapsody's melodious voice, an ethereal tone known to melt stallions on the spot, even without Warsinger, to flow out from her communication device. Instead, the deep and powerful notes from a cello flowed forth. It was far from the soothing pieces Octavia played for Black Rose. It began with deep, ominous quivers, Octavia's grudge against Pinky in musical form. The first part served as a warning, a herald for bad things to come. Sable hoped that Octavia did not overdo things. The special chamber in her room allowed her to send her music through the other thorns, but in a less potent form. That should be enough to ensure some control. Despite the diluted power, the effect of Warsinger quickly proved telling. The Legionnaires and guards that charged halted in their tracks. The music left them disoriented and fearful of something they could neither see nor put a name to. Sable pulled out a different kind of canister from her pouches and chucked it beneath them. A yellow haze seeped out, slowly filling the alley with poison. The unicorn mare and her squad mates shouted for the others to leave while they dragged Pinky out. The ponies caught in Warsinger's tune didn't seem to hear the warning. Their eyes watered, and their noses ran at first. As they stayed in the cloud, the tears and snot turned mixed with blood. In less than a minute, all of them had fallen to the ground, coughing, wheezing, and bleeding. Sable had little time to survey her hoofwork. It was time to remind Pinky of what happened when a pony involved herself in things beyond her. The music continued to flow from her communication device, leaving every pony within earshot, unable to defend themselves properly. Pinky tried desperately to stay on her hooves, but the dull ache from earlier had turned into a searing headache. She was feeling sick for some reason.
This is no time to come down with a cold, she told herself. I've got to stop her.
She tried to concentrate on the swirling colors again, but the pain made it impossible. Night Cantor was dragging her out of the alley with telekinesis.
Wait, she cried out. I can't run away now. She'll go after my friends and family.
Celestia, drill my backside, Night Cantor grunted. If you keep struggling, I'll kill them myself. Stay still, Pinky. We'll take care of this.
Pinky watched in horror as the first Legionnaires dropped to the ground. The yellow haze was seeping out of the alley. The ominous music hinted of things even more horrible than Sablesteel about to burst into the alley at any moment. Thoughts of that awful smoke seeping into the rock farm, Sugarcube Corner, even the rest of Ponyville filled her head.
Oh no! She started already!
Pinky remembered one more trick that Coppermane taught her, and fought through the headache. With a flash of colors, Night Cantor's telekinesis broke. Pinky took three steps before falling face first to the ground. The headache sent the world spinning. It was impossible to even take two steps in the same direction. The swirl of lay energy was just ahead of her. All she needed to do was reach out. The colors faded when her hoof touched them. A second later, everything was dark. Despite the poison gas obscuring her vision, Sable could still spot her target. When Pinky passed out, it was time to end the mission for the time being. Once she woke up, Pinky would have that quiet moment of introspection that would determine if she had what it took to bring out more of the element of joy, or not. Sable had to give it to her partner as well. Octavia had not overdone things despite the temptation. There were only a few minor problems to deal with. The lead unicorn had cast a spell that was causing Sable's poison gas to dissipate. It wouldn't be long until that Pegasus and her squad would have a clear line of sight. With a flap of her wings, Sable dove into the thicker portions of the cloud, swooped past the fallen Legionnaires, and aimed a needle thrust at where the unicorn's neck would be. To Sable's surprise, she stabbed something else before she could even come close. The needle was covered in blood when she pulled her hoof back. Who had she just stabbed? The yellow haze suddenly vanished into a sudden darkness, as did most of her surroundings.
Sable, why have you done this?
Sable could only stare as her grandfather shuffled towards her. He He stood out in the dark as if lit by an unseen spotlight. His neck spurted blood on her coat. It was easy to recognize the badly burned skin, the bad eye, the lack of a mane and tail, and the patches of coarse blue hair all over his body. Ice Carver, the last of the Black Moon Blades, ultimately paid for his stubborn dedication. His laboratory exploded while he was perfecting a chemical mixture, leaving him a disfigured wreck for the rest of his days, and earning him an insulting nickname that remained long after memory of his real name had faded. "You're dead," she whispered.
"Wretched filly, how many times must you spit on our memory?"
His voice sounded nothing like how Sable remembered. That she couldn't tell if it was because this was a fake, or that it was her own memory that was flawed, left an ache within her.
"I taught you the lore so you may remember, not so you could disgrace us."
To the sound of cracking earth, the ground burst in several places. More ponies rose all around Sable. Their faces were but skulls with a few strips of desiccated flesh clinging on. Some of their limbs hung only by a tendon or two, but she recognized a few of them. They were her grandfather's comrades, the last remnants of a fallen order. One by one, they died until he remained. They clung to her, the cloying smell of rot penetrating even her breather mask. She struggled to break free. "This is an illusion," she thought. "Some unicorn mage thinks she can play tricks on me." The sheer power of such an illusion left Sable nervous. This spell reached into her memories and created visions out of her worst fears. A phantasm, as Lion Court told her once. Only a very powerful illusionist could do this. Perhaps she had underestimated the unicorn mare earlier. Still, there were ways to break out of such a spell. Before the corpses of the Black Moon Blades could pry her hooves apart, she switched one foreleg device into a blade, then stabbed her flank, sending a burst of pain coursing through her body. Even the pain of a poisoned wound felt good compared to the agony of watching her memories twisted like this. The vision did not fade. Sable fought back a sense of rising panic. The idea that this may not be an illusion, but her actual punishment crossed her mind. The corpses held her tightly, leaving her unable to move an inch.
"Don't bother hurting yourself anymore. I have you well and fully trapped."
Sable didn't recognize the voice, but the regal tone made it easy to tell. Out of the darkness, Princess Luna walked out, her face a grim mask of determination.
"You are very brave, Thorn, for conducting your business here in Canterlot. I have you, though. You will lead us to your mistress."
Princess Luna removed the breather mask with her telekinesis.
"All right. I'll tell you if you take away these visions," Sable said. "Tell me, then."
Sable muttered some words and garbled them on purpose.
"What?"
Princess Luna asked. She leaned a little closer, her ears perking. Sable spat. The glob of phlegm and saliva landed squarely on Princess Luna's snout, who looked at it in disgust. She cast a spell to clean herself after a moment.
"I wouldn't tell you where I piss, Moon Princess," Sable hissed. "Why don't you just kill me? You've already slain all the Black Moon Blades. Finish the job."
The outburst caught Princess Luna off guard, and it only added to Sable's rising fury. The mighty Princess of the Night probably never even heard of the Black Moon Blades. Sable was more than happy to show her. A great flash of golden light suddenly erupted from behind Sable. The visions vanished, allowing her to move freely. Before she could, a powerful telekinetic spell caught her in its grip. After a second, it pulled her back into the portal she had used. The door slammed, then simply disappeared as Black Rose destroyed yet another secret entrance to Canterlot. The breather mask fell just a foot away as Sable regained her bearings. She was back at the hideout, inside Black Rose's quarters.
"Cutting it a little too close, are we, Sable?"
Black Rose asked. She reclined on her bed, once more going through the dozens of magical images she used to keep track of her agents.
"I was done for at that point," Sable said. "I'm ready for whatever punishment you have."
No need, Black Rose said. The element of joy did spark. Not much, but it certainly reacted to all that put-down you kept giving poor Pinkie Pie. Good work, Sable.
Sable nodded. She was about to leave when Black Rose spoke again.
Sable, you do realize that the bearers can't actually quit.
It was a test, Sable replied.
Oh, really?
Black Rose smiled.
How much of it, I wonder?
Just enough. Sable closed the door and returned to her quarters. She passed by Octavia, who bowed politely. Once she was alone, she looked at the breather mask, the same breather mask that her grandfather crafted for her. The cracks on one of the eyes had lengthened vertically. The piece was in need of some serious repair.
You are a thorn, not a blade, Sable muttered.
With a snort, she hurled the mask to one corner of the room. Luna walked through the halls of the royal palace in a bad mood. She had a thorn. A thorn! She had one land on her hoof, and she let it slip away. Some of the guards flinched and looked away when she walked past them. Several hours had passed since that incident. She had to personally heal Pinky, who was suffering from prolonged exposure to poisonous gas. Even though Pinky was not in any grave danger, to see her lying depressed on a hospital bed was difficult to take. Of course, whatever discomfort Luna felt was nothing compared to Fluttershy's, who never left Pinky's side. After that, Luna spent the rest of the day helping Special Operations track down any remaining portals that connected Black Rose's base to Canterlot. Each time they found one, Black Rose destroyed it. It was a frustrating task, but their enemy couldn't go back and forth into the capital from now on. Tirado had just flown in from some business in the Great Delve. He had been gone for days now, and wasn't around when Rarity fought against Lioncourt, or when Rainbow disappeared. Luna didn't buy the story of problems in the Delve entirely. Celestia had secretly dispatched Waxwing, another one of the royal nephews, to the Great Delve in order to observe the Barrierland's capital. Waxwing had reported earlier that day that Tirado had indeed stopped by the Delve, but only for a short while. That left a great deal of missing time. That wasn't what Luna was going to pry into for now. Sablesteel had said something that left her curious. She flung the doors to Tirado's quarters open with her magic and found her brother by his desk.
This better be important, Luna.
Tirado didn't glance back, but he did put aside the papers he was working on.
Big brother, what can you tell me about the Black Moon Blades?
They're dead.
Luna held back a snort. It looked like she wasn't the only one whose endeavors left her in a foul mood.
Not all of them, it seems, she said.
Tirado turned around.
Reports have already rolled in, he said. You ran into Sablesteel of the Thorns.
His horn glowed briefly and the doors shut behind Luna.
Like I said, they're dead. Contrary to what you may be thinking right now, Sablesteel is not a Black Moon Blade.
She accused me of destroying them, Luna insisted. I've never heard of this group in my life.
Tirado snorted, then smiled a bit. Luna frowned at the seeming mockery.
What's so funny? She asked.
It's a strange feeling, Tirado replied. I can understand why you have no idea who these ponies were, but I still feel that you should have known about them.
When Luna stayed silent, Tirado went on.
You created the Black Moon Blades, little sister. Except that, during the time you did, they were called something else. Starlight Sentinels, I think.
Luna's eyes narrowed. Starlight Sentinels. There was a name she recognized. A long, long time ago, she found herself the center of unwanted reverence. Ponies treated her as a patron of thieves, burglars, and other miscreants who used the night to hide their less-than-noble deeds. In response, she formed the Starlight Sentinels, a group dedicated to watching the night for such things.
When you left for the Heartland, they and a bunch of other groups were left to fend for themselves,
Tirado went on.
A few simply disbanded. Some just went on as if nothing had happened. The Starlight Sentinels went through a lot of changes. I don't know the details. It's probably written in some history book over at the Delve. Decades later, they were the Black Moon Blades, a group less interested in catching criminals and more interested in assassinating anything that might be the reason why their moon princess didn't want to stick around anymore. At the peak of their power, the Black Moon Blades cultivated legends with their exploits.
Apparently, swearing by the moon and not keeping your word was enough for their agents to hunt you down, make you disappear, and nail your tongue on the front door of your relatives. They scared even the Ophidites with their proficiency in poisons.
And what happened after that peak? Luna asked.
Nightmare Moon happened,
Torado replied. Luna cast her eyes to the ground. Of course. Why didn't she think of it to begin with?
When news of what you tried to do spread to the Barrier Lands, it spelled the end of any group still related to you. The Night Parade, the Moonlight Rondo. Nearly all of them simply walked away. A pity, too. I kind of liked the Rondo.
The Black Moon Blades? Luna asked.
What did you expect?
Torado asked.
Recruitment dried up. They were under suspicion of being an insane cult dedicated to Nightmare Moon. It didn't help that some of them did become that. It was over. Some small fragment tried to stay together, led by some pony called Chard the Insane Apothecary. They died out in the end.
Where does Sablesteel come in? Torado's eyes narrowed.
Sablesteel is Chard's granddaughter, an heiress to all of what remained of the Black Moon Blades. Black Rose found her slogging through a camp of melted Ophidites on a suicide mission, then recruited her. Does that satisfy your curiosity, Luna?
Luna nodded and left her brother to his work. She remembered the face she found when she removed that insect-like mask. Now she had a face to put on those ponies she left behind in her foolishness. One day I will make amends, she thought, to all of you who tried to hold on. First, I will show you a princess of the night that you all should have gotten at the start.